Amen. Thank you, Jack, for leading us in worship. That was so awesome getting to sing with you and hear you sing loudly the truth of Scripture and the provision made through us through Jesus. I'm so glad that every single one of you is here, whether it's your first ever time or if it's your last ever time at Shoreline. Can we get the house lights up just a little bit so I can see all the beautiful smiling faces? If we have not met, my name is Jermaine Harrison, by the way, and I get to serve here at Shoreline. And this summer, we've been walking through a series called Reputation. And we've defined reputation as what others believe is true about you, your closest friends, family, and loved ones, what they would say about you if I were to ask them, tell me a little bit more about this person. What they would say is your reputation. And we've been building on this idea that Christian high schoolers should have a reputation based in a reliance and trust and relationship with Jesus. And so last week, Austin walked us through a characteristic, a virtue that should mark us, and that is kindness. He talked about the fact that kindness is an action that demonstrates God's character. Kindness is an action that demonstrates God's character. And so we've been working our way through Galatians 5, verses 22 and 23 this summer. And it says this in verse 22, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. And so specifically tonight, we're going to be talking about this idea, this virtue of goodness that should mark you and I if we are surrendering our lives to the leadership and lordship of Christ. So grab your Bible, grab your journal. We are headed on a journey tonight that I think is really helpful or can be really helpful for every single one of us. So to set up where we're going, I want to present to you a TV show maybe that you have seen before. How many of you guys have seen this show, The Good Place? Yeah, we got lots of people in the room, The Good Place. If you've never seen it, The Good Place is starring Kristen Bell, as you can see in that photo. And the premise of the show is that this woman, her name is Eleanor, I think, in the show, passes away. And she wakes up and she's in the good place. And the way you get into the good place is based on your performance here on earth. If your good works, your good deeds outweigh all the bad stuff you did in life, then you would make it into the good place. And it's hilarious or, you know, really disrespectful all at the same time if you were to ever watch it. But the reason I start off with that illustration from this TV show is that it represents a kind of misconception in our culture about goodness. And unfortunately, that misconception is also sometimes true within the church, amongst Christians, of what does it mean to be good? What does it mean to demonstrate goodness? And the misconception that is portrayed in that TV show is this, is that goodness is determined by your performance, right? Goodness is determined by your performance. In other words, the better you are at life, the more good things you do, and the less bad things you do, then you are a good person, right? If you do enough good things, you're a good person. If you avoid the bad things, then you're good. Think about your friend, think about your classmate, or think about that person, that high school student that you know, the one that doesn't drink, the one that doesn't cuss, the one that doesn't go to parties, the one that doesn't expose themselves to inappropriate images, whatever it might be. What do you call that person in your group of friends? You call that person the good kid, the goody two-shoes, etc. Exactly. Because somewhere along the line, we've like equated or we've come to the conclusion that goodness is defined by our avoidance of sin. And so if we avoid doing all the bad stuff, then we are that good kid, right? The one that doesn't break the rules. But tonight I want to invite you with me to reevaluate maybe your definition of goodness and what it means to be good. Because God wants you and I to have clarity about goodness, about what it looks like for you to model and live out this virtue of goodness. So I want to give you a definition of goodness, and then we'll kind of work our way through that definition. And the definition is this: goodness is action and affections transformed by God's acceptance. Goodness, as explained in Galatians 5, is action and affections transformed by God's acceptance. Okay, so that's our definition. And what we're going to spend our time tonight looking at is how we define goodness. So we're going to expand on that definition and how we can develop the virtue of goodness in our lives. So we'll spend our time defining and developing, learning how we can develop goodness in our lives. So our first point tonight is goodness defined. What does it mean to demonstrate goodness? What does it mean to display, to be a person marked by goodness? And I just want to say that there's a lot of definitions out there. As I studied and prepared for this message and researched, man, there's so many opinions. And probably in this room, as you walked in with an opinion of what it means to be good, or what it means to be marked by goodness. And hopefully, through God's word, we can all get more aligned with what God thinks goodness is. So a quick kind of summary of like what I've researched and what I've found to help us understand what goodness is and what we're talking about, so we have a baseline, is this: goodness can be defined as uprightness of heart, right? So like moral and ethical character, in a sense. Goodness can be defined as uprightness of heart and life, preference of right over wrong, choosing the right thing over choosing the wrong thing, choosing to obey God as opposed to sinning, or selfless action that benefits others. So it's a lot of different ways of viewing goodness that I think are helpful. Uprightness of heart and life, preference of right over wrong, and selfless action that benefits others. I think that's a good way to think about goodness as we talk about it some more tonight. So here's the first thing I want you to understand about goodness, this virtue of goodness. Left to ourselves, none of us can demonstrate goodness. Left to ourselves, none of us will choose right over wrong. None of us will selflessly act on the behalf of others. None of us will be marked by an upright heart, like moral and ethical character. Left to ourselves, none of us will demonstrate goodness. Let me show you where I find that from God's word. Romans chapter 3, verses 10 through 12. So this is God speaking through the Apostle Paul to the church in Rome, and by extension to you in this room. And he says this: as it is written. So he's actually quoting scripture. He's quoting Psalm 53 and Psalm 14 as well. And it says this in Romans 3, 10 through 12. As it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one. There's no one who understands. There's no one who seeks God. Every single one of us have turned away. They have turned together and become worthless. And notice this last phrase: there is no one who does good, not even one. There is no one who does good, not even one. And so the Apostle Paul is identifying a truth about every single one of us. We are born into this world with a sin nature, which means we are inclined to run from God. We are inclined to break the rules. It's wired, it's hardwired into our minds, into our brains, into our being. We do not naturally choose what is good. We do not naturally choose what is right. The only way we choose what's good and what's right is because of God's divine intervention and God's grace. And so in your mind, whoever you think of when you think of, oh, that's a good person, or that person has contributed lots of good to our society. Maybe you think of Winston Churchill, or maybe you think of Abraham Lincoln freeing the slaves, or Martin Luther King Jr., or Mother Teresa, or your mom. Whoever you think of when you think of a really good person, what God is highlighting to you and to me is that no matter how good they seem, no matter what good they've contributed to society, apart from God, left to ourselves, none of us can demonstrate goodness. Here's a quick illustration of that. My wife, her name's Hannah, and she's amazing, and she is one of the most servant-hearted people that I know. Right? And just a few weeks ago, I got a blood test to figure out some allergy stuff that was going on with me as I ate food. For years, I thought I was lactose intolerant, that I wouldn't get to enjoy ice cream or pizza or anything filled with dairy, and I would just take lactaid pills to make sure I could enjoy them still. I thought I was allergic to dairy, and I took this blood test to figure out what was going on because I was feeling really bad. So the blood test comes back, and great news, I am not allergic to dairy. I can eat all the pizza, all the cheese, all the milk, etc. Yep. Wow. Yes, I'm excited. I'm just as excited as you are. However, it came back evidence from like the blood test that I am allergic to gluten. I know. And so for all these years, I was being super careful with cheese and milk and ice cream, while at the same time, I was crushing bread in every shape and form without a thought. And all the time, I was allergic to gluten. And the last several weeks, we've had to literally change out everything we owned in terms of groceries because it all had gluten in it. And so my wife has been like doing a ton of research on the kind of foods you could have. Did you guys know that there's such a thing as chickpea pasta, like pasta made straight up from just chickpeas? I didn't until this week when I ate it for dinner. So anyways, all that to say, my wife has been so patient. She's been so servant-hearted, looking, researching, honestly being good to me, being a servant to me and helping me in this season of transition. And she is awesome. But here's what I want you to know. That she isn't good or she doesn't serve me because she is inherently just a good person. Apart from God's divine grace and his intervention in her life, she would be a selfish individual. She would be someone that wouldn't care about others and only care about herself. But I know that she has surrendered her life to God, that she has understood her need for a relationship with him. And I see her on a daily basis spending time in God's word because she knows every day she needs to surrender her life to God so that he can inform and transform the way that she lives. She knows that left to herself, she cannot demonstrate goodness. And the same is true about every single one of us. So here's how you can say that in summary. Any goodness we express, any good deed that you do or any right choice that you make, or any moral or ethical character about you, any goodness we express flows from the goodness of God. You get that? You are not good. Left to yourself, you will not choose goodness. The only way we get to experience and express goodness is through the kindness and goodness of God that we see specifically laid out in Titus chapter 3, verses 3 through 8. If you've never read this passage of scripture, I encourage you to read the entire book of Titus. But Paul is talking to his young, disciple or protege Titus and equipping him with an understanding to lead the church that he was a pastor of. And here's what Paul says to Titus and to us to remind us that apart from divine grace, apart from God's intervention, we are not good. We cannot express goodness. He says this: at one time, we too, including you, including me, including every human being there ever was except Jesus, at one time, we too were foolish and disobedient, deceived and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. Read, at one time we were all not good. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness and love of God, our Savior, appeared, what a shift in the story. He's been saying, man, we are in a terrible situation. We are broken. We are sinful. We are searching after our own desires. We are making a mess of our lives because of our sin, because of our nature. But then the kindness of God appeared. And in verse 5, he says, he saved us. Not because of the righteous things we had done. So God demonstrated his love for you in that while you were still a sinner, while you were still running after your own desires and pleasures and seeking everything that is not good, that you run after in your nature, in that state. Not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. God's mercy intervened in your life. And he saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 6. Whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that, having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. And so Jesus died and rose again so that you can have a reconciled relationship with God now, experience the abundant life today, and have a life and relationship with God for all eternity. And that is amazing news, but it doesn't stop there. Any goodness we express flows from the goodness of God. Notice verse 8. This is a trustworthy saying. And I want you to stress these things. Who? Titus. I want you to tell the people in your church, students in the room in 2019. I want you to stress these things so that those who have trusted in God, in other words, those who have placed their faith in the finished work of Jesus on the cross, those who have trusted in God may be careful to devote themselves to what? To doing what is good. These things are excellent and profitable for everyone. So do you notice the progression? We are not good. We start out broken, helpless, hopeless, and having no desire to follow God. And in God's kindness, he sent his son to reconcile a relationship with us and give us a ton of blessings now and in the future. And our response to God's acceptance of us, our new ability that we have by the power of the Spirit and Jesus working in our lives, is to embody and to demonstrate goodness. Any goodness we express flows from the goodness of God. Another way of saying that is this: true goodness comes from belonging to God. True goodness comes from belonging to God. In and of ourselves, we cannot be good. We cannot express goodness and demonstrate goodness. When we are good, the only reason we are good is because of the divine grace of God that is being poured out in our lives. True goodness comes from belonging to God. So, do you belong to God? Is a question that every single one of us needs to make sure we have an answer to. And as I look around the room, I know several of you and know that you have a relationship with God. Maybe some of you in the room are asking the question, wait a second. So you're saying that true goodness only comes through God, through a relationship with God. So what about humanitarian organizations or nonprofits or individuals that go to Africa and build wells or feed the hungry or help free people from sex trafficking? You're saying that if they're not Christians, that they're not doing good? And my answer to that question is yes, they are doing good. but their goodness stops in the moment of whatever action they're doing. True goodness flows from a relationship with God, right? And so in a relationship with God, when you understand that any good that you do, any good that you can do on the behalf of others is possible because of God's work in and through your life, you understand that you're not just building a well, that you're not just giving food, that you're not just saving people from sex trafficking, but that you're showing them the way to a new life, to a better life, a life of relationship with God. Someone who is not a believer who does good work might be doing good work, but it's because of the kindness and generosity of God to help the poor and the lonely and the lost and the hurting. Not because that person is good, because they're not. Apart from God, left to ourselves, we cannot demonstrate goodness. So goodness, true goodness, comes from belonging to God. I have an example where I experienced true goodness from someone else's life. When I was in college, I went to college in St. Thomas in the Virgin Islands, and one Thanksgiving, we had a ton of food like donated to our college campus from churches. Think like all these old ladies who are like, let's give them some good food so they can enjoy Thanksgiving. And so I'm like, sign me up. I eat the turkey. I eat the ham. I eat the sweet potato pie. I eat all of the things that you eat at Thanksgiving. I probably ate way too much. Then that night, I'm laying in bed in my top bunk. I remember it as clear as day. And it's like 1 a.m. and I open my eyes and the thought I have is I need to throw up right now, like this second. And so I roll out of my bed and I'm like running to the bathroom from my dorm. And I rush into the bathroom to try to make it to the stall, and I don't make it. And I throw up, and there's throw up everywhere, like all over the floor, like chunks of sweet potatoes and turkey. Yeah, I want you to visualize it, because it was bad. It was terrible. And it was everywhere, and I felt terrible. I had gotten food poisoning from something I had eaten. But even more vivid than that memory is my friend Franklin. So picture a 6'9", I mean, huge dude, 6'9", but his name's Franklin. His height doesn't match his name. But I remember in that moment where I was sick, where I was throwing up at every possible opportunity, I remember him going and grabbing a mop and walking into the bathroom. I didn't even ask him. There's throw up everywhere. And he starts mopping up my throw up. He's like cleaning up the bathroom, and you know, he has all the cleaning chemicals, all this stuff, making it smell not like the inside of my stomach all over the floor. So he, in that moment, was one of those examples of me experiencing the goodness and kindness that can only be demonstrated by someone who genuinely has a relationship with God and sees their actions as more than just a good deed, something nice, but something that would have eternal implications. And so I want to encourage you guys to think about this idea that you can't be good on your own. Apart from divine grace, you will only choose what is bad. But true goodness comes from belonging to God, from a relationship with him. So now that we've defined goodness, I'm going to give you my second and final point, which is to how you and I can develop goodness in our lives. After I give you this summary, goodness, remember, is action and affections transformed by God's acceptance, right? Goodness is action and affections transformed by God's acceptance. And so it starts with being accepted by God, that we experience through Jesus Christ's work on the cross, right? And as we surrender our lives daily to him, we have the privilege and power and ability, really, to be good, to display goodness through our actions and through our affections. Because they've been transformed by God. That is the only way you and I can display, demonstrate true goodness. So how do we develop that? How do we make that more of a habit? How do we make that more of a reality in our lives where we're not just doing good stuff just to feel good about ourselves or so someone can praise us for doing something good, but how can we develop goodness in our lives where we understand that the only way we're good is because of the goodness of God? Glad you asked, because I have a couple of suggestions, and then we'll be out of here. The first one is this. Surrender your life to Christ. The way you develop this virtue of goodness in your life is to surrender your life to Jesus, to the lordship and leadership of Christ. One of my favorite verses is John 15:5. And I quote it to myself all the time in those moments where I feel like I've got this or I'm good. I remember this verse because it's true of me and it's true of you. Jesus, speaking to his disciples then and now, so you and me, says this, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, in other words, if you continue to pursue a relationship with me, if you daily surrender your lives to God, I want you to know that surrender isn't something you do one time at the beginning of your walk with the Lord and you never do it again for the rest of your life. It is something that you should commit to doing every single day. When you open your eyes, ask God, submit your life to God. God, I surrender this day to you. I surrender. Render my conversations, my actions. Will you help me be marked by you? And so Jesus says, if you remain in me, that is, you pursue a relationship with me, you will bear much fruit. And then the last phrase, I hope that you realize and believe that this is true. Jesus says, apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from Jesus, you can do nothing. And he doesn't mean you don't have the ability to do anything. He's saying anything that has lasting meaning and purpose and worth beyond this life can only be done when we acknowledge our need for a Savior and our need to surrender to him every single day. Apart from him, you can do nothing. Surrender is done daily. Surrender doesn't come immediately. You don't just like wake up one day and are like, man, I'm fully surrendered to God. It's something you do every day. And surrender doesn't mean perfection. It doesn't mean you don't make mistakes. It doesn't mean that you become this good person that only does good things for all the rest of your life. Like that's we're on a journey towards perfection when we're in heaven with God in our perfect state. But right now, we're on a journey marching towards that. And what should mark you is a daily surrender to Christ if you're going to develop and grow goodness in your life. The second thing I want to encourage you with is to know and obey God's word. Know and obey God's word. This is self-explanatory. Psalm 119, verse 9. Here's what it says. How can a young person, i.e. you, me, how can a young person stay on the path of purity? You can even, you know, take out path of purity and put in, how can a young person continue to be marked by goodness? By living according to your word. And so the way you understand to choose right from wrong or have a high moral or ethical character or choose to be selfless in your actions is by understanding how God calls you to live. And the only way you'll understand how God calls you to live is if you're spending time in his word. The reason we read God's word is because there's information in there that will transform the way you think and view the world and the way you live. And so to develop goodness in your life, you've got to know God's word and then follow it, obey it. So how are you doing? At spending time consistently, daily, reminding yourself of truth by reading God's word or maybe listening to a message or memorizing scripture or reading a book about faith. Like those are different ways that you can get to know God's word better and obey it. So surrender your life to Christ, know and obey God's word. Number three, see the needs around you. See the needs around you. This is another way that you can develop goodness in your life. You've heard this story maybe 1,000 times, especially if you've grown up around church. It's found in Luke chapter 10, verses 25 through 37. It's a story of the Good Samaritan, and you know this story. You know, this man gets beat up. He's left for dead on this road. A priest walks by. He sees him, and he goes to the other side of the road because he doesn't want to help him. And then a Levite, another religious guy, walks by. He sees this man broken and in need of help. He goes to the other side of the road and he leaves. And then there's another man who is the least likely of the three to help, a Samaritan, a half-breed between Jews and the Gentiles of the day. And he stops and he helps this man. He bandages up his wounds. He puts him up in a hotel. He pays for his stay. He pays for all of his medical expenses. Over and over, we see this example in Jesus' story of a man who has been historically known as the Good Samaritan because of the way he selflessly acted on the behalf of this person that he didn't even know. But there's a couple lessons that we learn from that story, like the priest and the Levite. They chose who they wanted to display goodness to. They saw this man in need, and they ignored the need and went on their way. They chose their own definition of goodness. No doubt, this priest and this Levite were just coming from doing God's work in the temple, or maybe heading to it. And in between these religious things that they were doing, there was this man that needed care and help. And they were like, no, this isn't a good thing to do in this moment, right? But we as Christians should be marked by goodness. We should display it in our lives. And so the last one is just a reminder of what we should do on a daily basis. Be generous with our actions and resources. Be generous with our actions and resources. And by resources, I mean not only money, but your time, your talents, the way you're gifted in terms of your personality, the relationships that you have, the connections that you have, all of those things that God has blessed you with, the possessions or the relationships or the finances, all of those are ways that you can be generous to those in need around you to continue to develop and grow in your expression of goodness with the reminder that we can't be good without the goodness of God. And a verse that I want to leave you with as an encouragement is this, Galatians 6, verses 9 and 10. It says to you, it says to me, every Christian, every follower of Jesus that wants to grow in our relationship, it says, let us not become weary in doing good. Because guess what? Sometimes along the way, sometimes being in high school and you've been seeking the Lord and doing the right things and trying to serve others and choosing right over wrong, sometimes it gets hard. But he says, do not become weary in doing good. For at the proper time, you will reap a harvest if you will not give up. And so the Apostle Paul is telling you, high school student, that your efforts of being marked by this virtue of goodness will not go unseen. Write down Hebrews 6:10. It says, God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love. God sees you pursuing goodness. He sees you surrendering your life to him daily and acting in a way that is selfless and calling others into a relationship with God. He sees you. And you will reap a harvest, both in this life, and if not in this life, definitely in the one to come. He says, so therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people. Not just the ones we like, not just the situations that are easy to do good on the behalf of someone else, but to all people. And he says, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. And so if you're in this room and you know other high school students that are Christians, man, he's saying that you should pay special attention to how you can demonstrate goodness in the lives of your friends or people in your small group through your encouragement, through your words, through your actions, through the use of your resources. So goodness, in conclusion, is action and affections transformed by God's acceptance. When you know that you are accepted by God and you've placed your faith and trust in the work of Christ on the cross. It transforms the way you feel and view the world, and it transforms the way you live. It's that simple. So goodness is action and affections transformed by God's acceptance. And remember that it's not you working hard enough. It's not you doing enough good things. It's not you waking up and being like, I want to be good. Help me be good today, God. Let me make sure I do all of these things and check it off of a list, because that is a flawed view of goodness. Goodness is not based in your performance. However, when you understand that you are accepted by God, then you get to perform and live your life as an example, as a symphony, telling those that you come in contact with that you are good, not because of your own goodness, but because of the kindness and goodness of God being demonstrated through your life. You have an opportunity every day in this moment, right after Shoreline, tomorrow, to have your action and affections transformed by God's acceptance, by the power of the Spirit. Let me pray that you would. And now I'll give you a couple of announcements. God, thank you so much for tonight. Thank you for these students and leaders. Thank you for the lesson or the reminder on this virtue of goodness, that without you, left to ourselves, we will not choose goodness. We can't choose goodness. Thank you that by the power of the work of Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit, we get to demonstrate goodness on the behalf of others. I pray that everyone in this room would surrender their lives to you and seek you on a daily basis and see the needs that are all around us of ways that we can use our actions and our resources to demonstrate goodness on the behalf of others. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.